This is an audio summary for your AIL 80-102 course. The reading is Prediction Machines, Chapter 9, The Value of Judgment, by Ajay Agrawal, Joshua Gans, and Avi Goldfarb. Better prediction by itself doesn't actually help much unless you know what to do with it. Think about it this way. If you know it's going to rain tomorrow, that prediction is meaningless until you decide whether you actually want to stay dry or whether you'd rather save yourself the trouble of carrying an umbrella. That decision isn't prediction, that's judgment. And that's the critical insight at the heart of this chapter. As artificial intelligence takes over prediction, that is, machines get better and better at forecasting what will happen, humans are shifting into a fundamentally different role. Humans will do less of the combined prediction-judgment routine that makes up normal decision-making. Instead, we'll focus more on judgment alone. We're moving toward an interactive world where machines predict accurately and humans decide what to do with those predictions. And here's the counterintuitive thing. Better prediction actually creates more opportunities for judgment, not fewer. Better, faster, and cheaper prediction means more decisions to make. To understand this crucial distinction, let's look at how credit card networks actually make decisions every moment of every day. They have to predict whether you as an applicant are creditworthy. That's prediction. But they also have to decide how much risk they're willing to accept in their portfolio. Those aren't the same thing. Being creditworthy is a sliding scale, not a binary judgment. Do they want high-end platinum customers willing to pay premium rates and put large balances on the card? Do they want college students with less experience but more growth potential? Do they want to focus on international travelers or domestic users? That choice about market positioning is pure judgment. The decision balances different business models and different profit trajectories. Now, when you use your credit card at a merchant, the network faces another prediction judgment pair. Is that transaction fraudulent or legitimate? The network uses a prediction machine to predict one way or the other based on the pattern, the merchant type, the location, the time of day, the amount. But then it has to make a judgment call. What do they lose if they decline a legitimate transaction? What do they avoid by catching fraud? There are four possible outcomes. They could correctly identify fraud and save the network the recovery costs of that charge, or they could incorrectly deny a legitimate purchase and frustrate you as a customer. They could let fraud slip through and incur recovery costs, or they could authorize a legitimate transaction and keep you satisfied and loyal. The costs and benefits of these four outcomes aren't obvious or symmetrical. One of the authors had his credit card repeatedly declined when buying running shoes at an outlet mall during vacation. The network predicted his card was stolen because the behavior was unusual. Who buys shoes at a mall outlet? That's understandable prediction logic, but it's also bad judgment in this specific case. The author buys shoes once a year at similar times and places, always during vacation. Here's where prediction machines become powerful. A good prediction machine, trained on years of this author's transaction history, could learn his actual patterns at a level of detail human analysts can't match. It could recognize that, yes, he does buy shoes around the same time each year, like clockwork. That's not unusual for him, it's his normal, his baseline. A machine could factor in patterns we barely articulate consciously, like how long someone typically spends shopping at a mall, or whether transactions in two different locations are too close together in time to be the same person, or which merchants cluster together. As prediction becomes more precise, more personalized, the network can be more confident in whether to restrict a card and whether to contact the customer. The prediction becomes nuanced, but prediction machines can't make the judgment call by themselves. Someone still has to decide what outcome is worth what cost. Suppose the prediction machine is 90% accurate at identifying fraud. That means declining a transaction will do the right thing 90% of the time and prevent losses. But it also means wrongly declining a legitimate transaction 10% of the time. The network now has to judge, is customer dissatisfaction worth 9 times more than the recovery cost of fraud? If a $100 transaction costs the network $20 to recover from fraud, then customer dissatisfaction has to be worth less than $180 for the decline to make sense mathematically. For most customers, one declined transaction doesn't cost $180 in dissatisfaction. But for a high net worth platinum cardholder on an expensive vacation, maybe. Maybe that person would walk away from the card entirely, and the network loses all those vacation expenses and future spending. Different customer segments, different payment behaviors, different stakes, all require different judgment calls. That's the complexity credit card networks actually face every single transaction. This is where cognitive costs come in. Working out these payoffs, what each outcome is worth, takes time and effort and expertise. And as decisions get more complicated, the cognitive work multiplies exponentially. Credit card fraud is relatively straightforward, but imagine 10 different possible actions the network could take and 20 different situations customers could be in. Now you're weighing 200 different outcomes. Understanding the payoff for each one doesn't scale well. People experience this cognitive cost as a slower decision-making process. We all have to decide how much energy we want to spend pinning down the exact payoffs versus just making a decision and moving on. Sometimes you satisfice, you approximate, you guess at the payoffs for unusual scenarios. You group things together into categories, you choose a safe default, but for frequent decisions or really important ones, like high net worth customers or critical fraud cases, you invest the time to deliberate carefully and work out the payoffs. Consider, do you differentiate between work trips and vacations? Between trips to Rome and trips to the Grand Canyon? Each additional distinction is another layer of cognitive work, another set of payoffs to pin down. At some point, you have to stop subdividing and accept that your rules are good enough for most cases, even if they're not perfect for all cases. Now consider the Waze navigation example. The app predicts which route will be fastest by constantly analyzing traffic conditions and calculating options. But it doesn't know your full objective or your preferences. You might need gas. You might want to pass a good restaurant on the way. You might hate winding roads with sharp turns. You might be driving a big truck that can't handle narrow streets. The app knows speed, but not everything about what you're trying to achieve. You have weights in your mind, some conscious, some barely articulated, that are both idiosyncratic and subjective. The app gives you its prediction for the fastest route, and you decide whether to follow it or override it based on your judgment. You might even ask it for a different prediction. Show me a route past a charging station, or avoid toll roads, or show me scenic roads. Humans know why they're doing something. We know what we're optimizing for. That knowledge is irreducibly human, at least for now. This brings us to a practical concept called reward function engineering. That's the term for determining what outcomes should be worth to the machine, the payoff structure. When an organization decides to use a prediction machine to make decisions, someone needs to figure out the rewards for different outcomes. Sometimes this means hard-coding judgment in advance. Think of self-driving cars. Once a prediction is made about what's happening on the road, the action has to be instantaneous. There's no time for a human to debate. So the car makers have to pre-specify what their vehicles should do in different scenarios. That's hard-coded judgment. Other times, there are too many possible situations to code in advance. Then a human needs to make the judgment after seeing the prediction. That's much closer to how most organizational decisions work now. Consider ZipRecruiter, the online job board. The company lets employers post jobs and helps match them with candidates algorithmically. But ZipRecruiter faced a fundamental business question. What should we charge? Charge too little and they leave money on the table. Charge too much and customers disappear. So they brought in two economists from the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business, who designed experiments. They randomly tested different prices on different customer groups and measured how many customers purchased at each price point. When they raised prices for certain types of new customers, short-term profits jumped by over 50%. That's a huge return, but ZipRecruiter hesitated. They recognized that short-term gain might hide longer-term costs. Would higher-paying customers stick around for renewals? Would word-of-mouth marketing drop? Would fewer job postings mean fewer job seekers on the platform, making the platform less valuable? After 4 months of careful monitoring, they confirmed that the higher prices were still profitable without these downsides manifesting. That's reward function engineering in practice. Someone had to decide what best meant. Was it short-term revenue this quarter, longer-term cumulative profit, ecosystem size and network effects, platform growth? Those are judgment calls that require understanding the business deeply, not just running numbers through an optimization algorithm. The core insight is this: as prediction machines improve and become cheaper, the role of human judgment doesn't disappear. It becomes more visible and more valuable. When prediction is expensive, we bundle prediction and judgment together as one integrated process, and we barely notice the distinction. When prediction is cheap, we see clearly that someone still needs to decide what outcomes actually matter and what they're worth. Humans, with all our messy values and priorities and strategic thinking, are the ones who make those calls. The machine predicts, we judge. And better prediction means more opportunities and more necessity for us to think hard about what we actually want. As prediction becomes cheaper, richer, and more pervasive across organizations, human judgment doesn't become obsolete. It becomes central to the organizations and the decisions that matter most.